welcome to the It's the Cream to the Dreg Show. No, this is not Dennis. I have no idea how successful my impersonation is being. But I'm not Dennis, it's me. Yes, it's old Ren to Wheel. How you doing? My third time guesting on the Cream to Dreg Show this Thursday, August the 29th, 2013. Now, you may remember the name Ren from my two interpretations every week of the Mideast Madness Show. 3 in the afternoon every Monday for a couple of hours, we do Mideast Madness. I am a Palestinian American, and I dispense the facts and the opinions as I recognize them. I also do more or less the same show every Saturday morning starting at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for that two-hour show. But until Dennis returns from his latter half of August vacation, you're with me and I got you. I also have to put up with this electric party that's going on outside the doors of the studio on a Thursday night. Just my luck. But it's not too bad so far. Felt like I was walking into a 1960s electric rock jam on the way to the studio. Okay. That, of course, were the Beatles. Now, if I can just figure out where I put the darn up. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. In 1967. That's earlier than I thought. It is said to be the Beatles' masterpiece. Yeah. 1967 original sound recordings made by EMI Recordings Limited. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band before the reprise, and you also heard, with a little help from my friends, with Ringo Starr doing the vocal, the primary vocals. Okay. Staying roughly in the same 1960s vein, here is some Chicago from a Best Hits album of Chicago. Okay. 25 or 6 to 4.
Waiting for the break of day. time goes on, I realize just what you mean to me. And now that you're near, promise your love that
this, of course, is the band Chicago.
Whoa.
Feeling stronger every day. 4 minutes and 13 seconds, but I did cut in a little early. Feeling stronger every day. Before that, you heard Color My World. And 25 or 6 to 4, very early hits for the band Chicago. I'm not entirely sure anymore, but I think they named themselves after the city. Huh. Yeah, going back as far as 1972 anyway, from a 2005 Best Hits album. Rhino Entertainment Company, Burbank, California. Let's get you out of there. Now, when I came in here, sauntering in on my own sweet schedule, we were doing, I think, Dennis's stock Thanksgiving special. I guess Robert Norris, who was in here before me, might not have been aware that anyone was going to come in and do Dennis' show for him. Whether or not he knew, he was on the ball there, staying on top of things by lining up something from Dennis. No more Thanksgiving special. Instead, we're going to do Ren's own peculiar variety of goodies. Now, the next two items are brought to you by the Swingle Singers from the album Notability and Acapella Anthology. This is all acapella music. Acapella means, in Latin, I suspect, without accompaniment. And let's, and here it is.
London, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Star Group Swingle. Its mission to explore strange new sounds, to seek out new songs and new arrangements, to boldly sing what no man has sung before.
Acapella means without accompaniment. And as soon as I flip the go button, you hear something electronic. The rest of it was, of course, the vocalization there, based on Star Trek TV show's original preface theme. But the rest of it, I quite assure you, was without instrumental accompaniment. And speaking of soundtracks, where is it? There it is. Once again, the Swingle Singers on Notability. Pa 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 p Steel himself. Not from the movie The Man of Steel, though. That was, of course, John Williams' composition, which was penned and recorded for the original Superman movie. We're not talking about the cartoons or the TV show or perhaps some other movie versions that went back a long time ago. This, I think it was 1977. And, of course, basically the same theme was used mostly for the other, I think it was three or four sequels to that. This is the Christopher Reeve version, Christopher Reeve playing Superman. And sitting on my glasses again. Composed by Williams. Whereas the Star Trek theme you heard before that, also by the Swingle Singers of England, this is recorded in England. Apparently the Star Trek theme there was actually written by Gene Roddenberry himself, the creator of the whole Star Trek mess. So, according to this, Roddenberry even composed music. He was a Los Angeles policeman before he became a Hollywood writer, was a bomber pilot and the big one, 1940s, stuff like that. He passed, I think, 1990 or 91. Okay, oh, you know what, folks? Again, I am Ren Tweel, sitting in for Dennis, usually does the Cream to Dreg show. He'll be back doing Cream to Dregs 2 weeks from tonight, unless you all get extra lucky and he shows up next week, in which case I'll have to find something else to do because I'm doing the show next week too, folks. That's right. Old Ren is doing Cream to Dregs next week. And, I was going to tell you, plug a couple of things here. You can call me. You might even try laying a request on me, and if I don't personally have it, I can try to make sense of the scadillions of CDs we have here. Just don't ask me to look up MP3s. I can't handle that. I'm not that computer literate, and so I'm computer literate to begin with. But call us here at area code 831-427-3772. Again, that's line 1, 427-3772. And just for the hell of it, line 2, also area code 831-469-3119. 469-3119. And please consider donating, given the fact that just about every other Thursday in the course of a year, Dennis is here doing Cream to Dregs from 8 to 11. Consider supporting us. Please consider sending your donations to this ongoing expression of civil disobedience, thumbing our nose and raising our middle fingers at the FCC and saying, what are these deal in the 60s? We're not going to take it. Screw you, whatever. This is underground pirate style free radio Santa Cruz. We're still, for the moment, for this small window in time, and an internet-only underground radio service, but we do expect to return to 101.3 FM as soon as we find a plot of land for our antenna. So you could consider calling me at those two numbers if you have some land that you might want to donate. It has to be a very high elevation and preferably in the city of Santa Cruz, California. It is 8:49 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time here on the west coast of North America. And do consider sending your donations to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Just write the letters FRSC on the envelope, Post Office Box 7811, Santa Cruz, C-R-U-Z, California, 95061. That's FRSC, Post Office Box 7811. Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And again, the phone numbers are area code 831-427-3772. Or you can try your luck on 469-3119. No. Perhaps you tuned into underground radio this evening to get away from all the the ballyhoo and hullabaloo and perfectly predictable celebration of the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech. Well, for the most part, you've come to the right place and looking somewhere to get away from that, but I'll tell you what, folks, I've got something. This is from Music of the American Colonies. Annie Enslow and Ridley Enslow from the year 2000. Music of the American Colonies, which includes a narration here, if I can just plug into that. Specifically, It says, Olada Equiano Reading / Angola. On this album, they're taking a little break from the music of the American colonies. And this includes a narration chorus, balafone, and djembe. Sounds very African to me. Again, Oladao Equiano Reading, Angola. I'll bet you haven't heard this and won't hear it anywhere else. But since we're talking about Martin Luther King and civil rights and stuff like that so much, let's give this a shot.
The first object that saluted my eyes when I arrived on the coast was the sea and a slave ship which was then riding at anchor. These filled me with astonishment that was soon converted into terror when I was carried on board. I was now persuaded that I had got into a world of bad spirits and that they were going to kill me. Their complexions, too, differing so much from ours, their long hair and the language they spoke, which was very different from any I had ever heard, united to confirm me in this belief. When I looked round the ship, too, and saw a multitude of black people of every description, chained together, every one of their countenances expressing dejection and sorrow, I no longer doubted of my fate. I was soon put down under the decks, and there I received such a salutation in my nostrils as I never experienced in my life. So that with the loathsomeness of the stench and with my crying together, I became so sick and low that I was not able to eat. O ye nominal Christians, might not an African ask you, learned you this from your God, who says unto you, do unto all men as you would men should do unto you? Years later, I made my obeisance to my master, and with my money in my hand and many fears in my heart, I prayed him to be as good as his offer to me when he was pleased to promise me my freedom as soon as I could purchase it. He began to recoil, and my heart that instant sunk within me. What, said he, give you your freedom? Why, where did you get the money? Have you got 40 pounds sterling? Yes, sir, I answered. My friend the captain then said he knew I got the money very honestly, on which my master said he would not have made me the promise which he did, had he thought I should have got the money so soon. Come, come, said my worthy captain, clapping my master on the back. Come, Robert, which was his name, I think you must let him have his freedom. My master then said he would not be worse than his promise. These words of my master were like a voice from heaven to me. I most reverently bowed myself with gratitude, unable to express my feelings but by the overflowing of my eyes. My master signed the manumission that day, so that before night I, who had been a slave in the morning, trembling at the will of another, was become my own master and completely free. People immediately styled me by a new appellation, to me the most desirable in the world, which was Free Man.
And yes, I challenge anyone to come across anything like that in the annals of recorded narration accompanied by music. Orladao Aquiano reading, Angola. May as well stay roughly in the same vein here. We've got, let me see. Kind of funny with all these CDs and plastic jewel boxes spread out all over. The Long Road to Freedom, an anthology of black music. Well, let's see if I can find something that seems appropriate. Oh, shoot, I'll just throw on cut number 7 for now. It's called We Look Like Men of War. And here it is. you this introduction to what you just heard. I just noticed it's bannered on the front of the CD, Harry Belafonte Presents. And then on the back, 30 years after being recorded, Harry Belafonte's 10-year labor of love is rediscovered and readied for release by Buddha Records. Again, it's called The Long Road to Freedom, an anthology of black music. This is, you heard from a promotional sampler, not for sale, but it's from a, yeah, from a 5-CD box set. And was, let's see. Ooh, interesting. Box set, street date, September 11, 2001. So, this came out before September, before 9-11 of 2001, anyway. I'll do another one from that. Right now, this is about the time that Dennis would get into his Earth First update. Dennis's philosophy of delivering the latest on the things that really matter, particularly with nature, the environment, and such in this lush redwood rainforest of the Santa Cruz Mountains here in the coast of California. Well, I'm behind. Old Ren's behind the mic now. And as you heard me say when the show started, that is when I started the show, about 16 minutes late. I am a Palestinian American, which is to say, my mother is European American. She and I were both born in San Francisco, but my father is a native-born Jerusalemite from Jerusalem, Palestine. It was called Palestine in 1915, the year of my father's birth. And that's where I'm coming from, philosophically. Intellectually, when I do the Mideast Madness show. Every Monday at 3 in the afternoon, every Saturday in a couple of days, starting at 11 a.m. here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, streaming live. Then, as we are now, at freakradio.org, freakradio.org, Muzzle Watch. Now, there is an outstanding, level-headed organization composed primarily of Jewish people called Jewish Voice for Peace. We've all come across the names of many Jewish organizations. The American Jewish Council, the Anti-Defamation League, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. It's an on and on. And that last one, AIPAC, is a, in my mind, a truly dangerous and highly undemocratic lobby in Washington, D.C. that pulls strings within the American Congress to load up the coffers of the Israeli military and suppress Palestinians. That's one way I look at it. Jewish Voice for Peace, JVP, is made up, as I said, primarily of American Jews, but they are enlightened to the point of recognizing that no real peace will happen in that conflicted part of the world, Israel and Palestine, without proper education and getting people out of the old mindset that pretty much, in the United States anyway, sides with Israel. One of the services that JVP provides on their website is called Muzzle Watch. tracking efforts to stifle open debate about U.S.-Israeli foreign policy. Let me say that again so you understand. Jewish Voice for Peace's Muzzle Watch feature tracks efforts to stifle open debate about U.S.-Israeli foreign policy. Here's an article from July 17, 2013. Abushi gains some yardage by Sidney Levy. Correction. Abushi gains some yardage posted by Sidney Levy under educational institutions. This is website stuff. The actual writing was by Marilyn Nymark. July 12. When the usual suspects, David Horowitz's Front Page magazine and Debbie Schlussel's blog went ballistic over the NFL's New York Jets draft of Brooklyn-born Palestinian-American Ode Abushi, it looked poised to go viral as more mainstream venues such as Yahoo Sports and Major League Baseball's new media coordinator Jonathan Mayel joined in the attack. It was no surprise that The Nation's David Zinn, the Electronic Intifada's Ali Abunima, and Yusuf Monier in the Daily Beast rushed to Abushi's defense. Just wiping a little crud off of the microphone foam here. But the expected left-right shout-down didn't materialize. Here's the Yahoo story. Could Ode Abushi jeopardize his National Football League career with anti-Israel, etc., etc., was taken down almost as quickly as it went up, and Jonathan Mayel's mea culpa for his, quote, beyond inappropriate tweets attacking Abushi was reported in and endorsed by the New York Daily News. Not the Times, but the Daily News. Even the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, weighed in, pointing out in their press release that, quote, being pro-Palestinian does not mean you're an anti-Semite or an extremist. The record simply does not show that Abushi has crossed that line. Well, the ADL weighed in with that. I'm surprised that the ADL would even admit that. Anyway, continuing with Nymark's article. So what at first appeared to be grist for the Muzzle Watch mill turned out to be something else entirely. Apparently talking about the Nakba, which is the terrible events that occurred mostly in May and June of 1948, when 750,000 or more Palestinian civilians became refugees and left their homeland, the Nakba. Apparently talking about the Nakba and empathizing with the Palestinians displaced by Israel is no longer beyond the pale, at least within professional sports, and at least for a Palestinian-American. Signs like this of a shift in the range of acceptable discourse are exciting, to be sure. But to the extent they're happening, it's because we've been pushing back against the sowers of hate. This is no time to slacken our efforts. Okay, a short piece from the Muzzle Watch Task Force of JVP. Yes, admittedly, a pat on their own back to a certain point for helping to unify some of the voices who had come to Abushi's defense, Palestinian-American Ode Abushi, now with the New York Jets. As far as I know, he's still, well, NFL's New York Jets draft of Brooklyn-born Ode Abushi. That's interesting. Let's go to another piece, which coincidentally perhaps is The same date, July 12, 2013. This is from Steve Helber with the Associated Press, AP. Jet Sabushi faces aspersions for being Palestinian. There was a picture, which I did not retain, on this article, with the caption, Ode Abushi, shown with his family when he played at Virginia, said he was proud of his Palestinian heritage and of being born in the United States. Okay. Again, Steve Helber. This came by way of Steve Helber of the Associated Press, but it was penned by Ben Spiegel. Ben Spiegel, S-H-P-I-G-E-L, July 12th. On the night of June 29, two months after he was drafted by the Jets, Ode Abushi stood before more than 700 people at the El Biray Society Convention in Arlington, Virginia, and discussed his journey to the NFL. Now, you'll probably hear that sentence again. I think it was an extraction from the article. Here's the meat of the article. The Jets have supported Ode Abushi, who has been accused of Muslim extremism. Abushi shared what it was like growing up in Brooklyn and Staten Island as one of 10 children. He spoke about graduating from the University of Virginia in 3.5 years. He discussed his 2009 visit to refugee camps in the West Bank, how that trip inspired him even more to succeed and to represent his community. It was the classic American success story, said Sarab al-Jijakli, the president of the Network of Arab American Professionals, who was in the audience that night. Abushi's appearance at the convention, a three-day gathering of Palestinian Americans that was described by another attendee as a cultural networking event, produced an outcry from some online something or other who charged Abushi with being a Muslim extremist. An article on the website Front Page Mag suggested that he had terrorist ties. A column on Yahoo Sports, since removed, said he held anti-Semitic views. An employee of MLB.com, Major League Baseball.com, on Twitter compared Abushi to Aaron Hernandez, the former New England Patriots tight end charged with murder before later apologizing. That would be the employee of MLB.com on Twitter apologized after the comparison that person made. Continuing, waves of support for Abushi started rolling in on Thursday, and on Friday, the Anti-Defamation League released a statement condemning the attacks on his character and applauding him for taking pride in his culture. The Jets also backed Abushi, an offensive lineman they selected in the 5th round. In a statement, Abushi said he was upset that his reputation had been tarnished by people who did not know him, but that he was proud of his Palestinian heritage and to have been born and raised in the United States. Our judgment here was that he was falsely accused of being what he's not. And the next thing to do is stand up and say so. Abraham H. Foxman, the national director of the Anti-Defamation League, said in a telephone interview. Foxman added, there are two Israeli players in the NBA, and they stand up and affirm their Israeli identity. That doesn't make them anti-Palestinian. He's proud of his heritage, and there's nothing wrong with that, end quote. A very surprising quotation from Abe Foxman, national director of the ADL. Continuing, the politics of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict are fraught, and that tension, more than anything he has said or done, seems to have thrust Abushi into this furor. It is perhaps part of being a Palestinian-American athlete, a relative rarity, although his family is not willing to accept it. Our family's never experienced anything like this, and I mean anything, to Hani Abushi, one of Ode's sisters, said in a phone interview. She said Ibushi had maintained a positive attitude despite criticism that felt like, quote, pure venom. Tahani said her parents, Iman and Ahmad, immigrated from Beit Hanina, a Palestinian section of the occupied territory in East Jerusalem, about 40 years ago. They ran a grocery store in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, and Ibushi lived on 53rd Street in that neighborhood before moving about a decade ago to Huguenot, Staten Island. Ibushi, the ninth of 10 children, was raised mostly by his mother and his older siblings. His father has spent more than a decade in federal prison after being convicted of conspiracy to commit robbery, conspiracy to possess stolen property, theft from interstate shipment and transportation of a stolen vehicle, according to federal court documents. Ibushi grew up in a home where Arabic was spoken as well as English. Like his three brothers, Ibushi, a practicing Muslim, attended Xavierian High School, a Catholic school in Brooklyn. Three of Ibushi's siblings, including Tahani, are partners in the Ibushi Law Firm in Manhattan. Other siblings have worked in teaching, accounting, and entrepreneurship and have entered medical school. Linda Sarsour, a close friend of the families and the executive director of the Arab American Association of New York, described the Ibushis as active in civil engagement, but, quote, in a behind-the-scenes, backstage kind of way. She said that one sister, Diana, was instrumental in raising money for Representative Andre Carson, Democrat of Indiana, and Representative Keith Ellison, Democrat of Minnesota, the first two Muslim members of Congress. Keith Ellison, by the way, the district he represents in mostly in Minneapolis, or largely in Minneapolis, is one where I lived, a neighborhood where I lived off and on over the course of several years in the late 70s, 80s, and or perhaps the early 90s, when I was a Minneapolitan, even though I'm from San Francisco. Yeah. And Representative Keith Ellison, Democrat of Minnesota, the first two Muslim members of Congress. The other one was Representative Andre Carson, Democrat of Indiana. Tahani, a lawyer in Manhattan, is involved in New York's chapter of the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. We're not activists that need to be in the limelight, Tahani said. We're not into being on stage unless it's required. We do what we need to get done, and we do it well, end quote. Again, that's Odeya Boshe's sister, the lawyer, speaking there. Continuing, it was not required then that Ibushi speak at the El Biray Convention, but his family and friends viewed it as a great opportunity. The event reunites Palestinian Americans from around the United States whose ancestors hailed from El Biray, a village in the West Bank, for a few days of socializing and networking. Sarsour described it as very secular. Secular, of course, being the opposite of sectarian. Secular means non-religious. It's a classy hangout in a Marriott, Tahani said. It's not a religious convention. It's not even a political convention. Remember, people, these are folks who are from or whose ancestors hailed from El Biray, a village in the West Bank, Palestinian village in the West Bank. When I began reading this, I could have sworn that when I saw the name El Biray, I thought it was Hebrew for some Israeli / Jewish organization, but nope. Both Arabic and Hebrew are Semitic languages, and there are similarities. El being the direct address form that is often used in Hebrew, whereas the Arabs use AL, usually in the same address form. But El Biray is indeed a Palestinian village under military occupation by Israel. Continuing with the article, Sarsour said she was approached 2 months ago about Abushi speaking. The organizers, after realizing most of the people who had signed up were from ages 18 to 35, were looking for a successful Palestinian-American who could speak with the younger generation. Other speakers included Representative Nick Rahal, Democrat of West Virginia, and prominent member of the arts. Sarsour speaks here. It's similar to any other community, whether you're Latino or Colombian or Chinese. If you're someone who's accomplished, your community is very proud of you, and you take those platforms to show your pride, Sarsour said. Linda Sarsour. He went to the conference as a Palestinian-American who plays professional football. He can't be anybody else but Palestinian. His name isn't Michael Smith. It's Odeh Abushi. It's not something he can stop being. New York Jets football team Abushi faces aspersions for being Palestinians. Perhaps not so badly so, according to the details of the article, but it does happen. By way of the Associated Press, written by Ben Spiegel. And, by the way, Susan C. Beachy contributed research. Incidentally, this article has been revised to reflect the following correction. Correction, July 15, 2013. Not July 12. Okay, so the two pieces that I read were in chronological order by 3 days separation. Here's more correction. An earlier version of this article misstated the name of a website that suggested Odeh Abushi had terrorist ties. It is Front Page Mag, not The Front Page. There, they have corrected themselves. A version of this article appeared in print on July 13, 2013. Even though the date was corrected to July 15. Okay, but the print article is July 13 on page D1 of the New York edition with the headline, Jet Faces Aspersions for Being Palestinian. Now, here are what may or may not be some interesting comments that readers shared their thoughts on this article with. Comments are now closed. It's a 2.5-month-old article. But John Relay of Los Angeles, wrote in response to this online presentation, right-wing loonies like David Horowitz and his allies desperately slinging accusations of anti-Semitism even at targets as obviously innocent as Mr. Abushi, deeply embarrass Abe Foxman and the quote-unquote legitimate defenders of Israeli apartheid at a time when the dominant pro-Israel narrative in American politics is under unprecedented challenge from a growing worldwide BDS movement that's the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement that is making headway on U.S. college campuses and increasingly among younger American Jews. This is the larger political context within which this whole affair, including Mr. Foxman's public statements, makes sense. Recommended by 3 people. Callie from California says, it is interesting to note how people like Foxman, start to equate anti-Israeli with being anti-American. And how quickly this newspaper turns to him. Surely it is possible to be critical of China's policy in Tibet without being anti-Chinese, of Turkey's actions in Armenia without being an anti-Turk. Why must I care if he is critical of Israeli policies or not? What has that got to do with anything? He appears to be an all-American kid participating in the highest levels in a favored sport and perhaps giving back to his country of birth, which is, of course, America. Anything else is bigotry and should be recognized as such. SC from Erie, Pennsylvania. While it is deplorable that Mr. Ibushi should be subject to this sort of vitriol from some sports fans, having spent time recently on a number of sports websites, I wouldn't take it all too seriously. The user commentary is frequented by the lowest of the low, both mentally and morally, and hardly worth responding to. That was recommended by five people. The previous one I read to you about equating not the wrongness of equating anti-Israeli with being anti-American, that had six recommendations. R, the letter R from U.S. Actually, I don't think this is really about bigotry. Or is it some, or it is only superficially about bigotry? The people attacking Ibushi neither know nor care about him as an individual. They care only about him as a symbol, namely a symbol that Palestinians exists. This is a political matter orchestrated by the likes of David Horowitz and others with a long history of pro-Israel propaganda and demonization of Arabs. But I don't really think they hate Arabs. If Icelandic people stood in the way of Israel's land theft operations, they would be demonizing Icelanders. Recommended by five. And we're getting a little more critical of the article here. Sherman L. Green, not necessarily the real person's name, this is a commenter on the internet article from the Upper West Side. Doesn't say what city, just Upper West Side. They might say something about Sherman L. Green's opinion of himself. The trouble with this article is that most of it is devoted to a defense of Ibushi as if he were on trial and required to prove his innocence. But it's his accusers who should be on trial and required to defend themselves. They aren't even named in the article. They have been given a completely free pass. And who is Abraham Foxman, or any other Jewish person for that matter, to stand in judgment of Ibushi? Foxman has his own actions to answer for, and Ibushi doesn't owe anything whatsoever to the Jewish people. Quite the contrary. That was recommended by 17 people. Laughing Dragon, the San Francisco Bay Area. Why aspersions instead of prejudice? Recommendations 8. And I'm going to read you one last one here. Mark Ryan of Long Island, that would be in the state of New York, east of New York City, but including Brooklyn and Queens, Long Island. Mark Ryan says, it is disheartening to see Abe Foxman being quoted as if he had any credibility in speaking about bigotry. Foxman denied the Armenian genocide perpetrated by the Turks in 1915. Until recently, the Turkish government was a close ally of Israel's, though it has been estimated that 1.5 million Armenians were slaughtered by Turks and Kurds on instructions from the Ottoman government of the time. The stated goal of the Anti-Defamation League is to fight anti-Semitism and racism, but in actuality, Foxman, its executive director, operates as a thought policeman by slandering those who were critical of the Israeli government and its actions. Foxman has attempted and often succeeded in having critics of Israel silenced through pressure, as in having speakers being canceled, Tony Jute, and in trying to prevent books being published. As a child in Poland during the Second World War, Foxman was saved by a Polish Catholic family and yet describes the New Testament as being, here we go again, anti-Semitic. Ryan ends his remarks with this sentence. Although Fox had been opposed to a mosque being built near Ground Zero, New York City, he attempts to gain some moral capital by standing up for a Palestinian who is so obviously being treated unfairly. That's recommended by 12 people. And Susan of New York, New York says, "This is about football. I am sick of people out there politicizing everything in this country." Two recommendations. Okay, folks. That's the news a la cream to dregs for this last full week of August 2013. I am Ren Tawil, sitting in for Dennis, who told me that he never wants his last name used over the air. We're all such brazen pirates, you know. It's 9:33 p.m. August 29th, 2013, and let's get back to that long road of freedom, Harry Belafonte's Long Road of Freedom, an anthology of black music album, cut all the way to the last item here, this is I'll Never Turn Back No More, and an excerpt from Dr. King's speech. The rest, I'd be happy to read you the rest of the details, but the writing is just too small and I don't have my regular glasses on. My thanks, by the way, to Bob Norris, Robert Norris, who does the Bathrobe Spear Broadsides show before Cream to Dregs. He loaned me his glasses here because I left mine in the car. Okay, here's the finale from Long Road to Freedom, an anthology of black music, I'll Never Turn Back No More.
Jesus, my own, to my heart.
conclude by saying our goal is freedom. And I believe we're going to get there. Because however much she strays away from it, the goal of America is freedom. Abused and scorned, though we may be as a people, our destiny somehow is tied up with the destiny of America. Before the Pilgrim Fathers landed at Plymouth, we were here. Before Jefferson wrote the beautiful words from the Declaration of Independence, we were here. Before the beautiful words of the Star-Spangled Banner were written, we were here. And for more than two centuries, our forebears labored here without wages. They made cotton king, and they built the homes of their masters in the midst of the most humiliating and oppressive conditions. And yet out of a bottomless vitality, they continued to grow and develop. And if the inexpressible cruelties of slavery couldn't stop us, the opposition that we now face will surely fail. We're going to win our freedom. We're going to win our freedom because both the sacred heritage of our nation and the eternal will of the Almighty God are embodied in our echoing demands. And so I can still sing, we shall overcome, we shall overcome, because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right, no lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right, truth crushed earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right, truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. And with this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mounting of despair the stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to speed up the day when all of God's children all over this nation, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
So we, in the end, were spared the exact speech from August 28th, 1963. But lo and behold, Dr. King did deliver the words that we expected, or perhaps were afraid to hear once more. No aspersions meant to be cast upon Mr. King or the civil rights movement or anyone in particular. It's just that there is a certain hollowness to the celebration, isn't there? 50 years after that watershed event and speech in Washington, D.C., that we, on the one hand, we have gained so much in terms of civil rights, and recognizing Homo sapiens come in a variety of lovely shades. Alas, though, we have such a long way to go. This is the Cream to Dregs show on Free Radio Santa Cruz, streaming live at freakradio.org. P.D.Q. Bach, born 1807, died 1742. That's a guess because there's a question mark after it. A.K.A. Professor Peter Schickley, with Christopher O'Reilly, famous concert pianist, Dennis James, famous theater organist, and David David Robinson, whoever he is, a few items under the... oh, by the way, this is from the PDQ Bach album, The Short-Tempered Clavier and Other Dysfunctional Works for Keyboard. Sonata da Circo, or Circus Sonata, S3 Ring. David Robinson, the whoever he is guy, and Professor Schickele on the Steam Calliope, beginning with Spiel vor Spiel. Where'd it go? Second Sonata, Entrada Grande. Thank you. And cutting ahead to ring number three, Sonata Three, Smolsky, the Russian Bear. Going to skip the Toccata Ecdysiastica and go directly to Calliope Frustration.
Look out, David! She's going to blow!
Jumping out of this window than it is getting back in. Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank you all for being so patient and so generous with your time. There's just one more point I want to make, but before I do, I'd like to pave the way, sonically speaking, as it were, by playing you one last work. This one is a recording. The piece is being played on the organ of the King Congregational Church of Fayray, North Dakota.
We're not going to do that, actually. This is PDQ Bach for you kids out there, who is really Professor Peter Shickley, a Midwestern aficionado, fan, and purveyor of classical music and his own satirical take on classical music. This is not the best of his albums. There's a lot of silliness involved here, of course, but I had a much better album, Dueling Pianos or something, which was really hilarious. I think it was kind of a best hits of his stuff. Okay, speaking of soundtracks, we're on soundtracks again here. We are going to go to Tom Waits' album Blood Money, and this is the piece that was played for the revealing documentary a few years ago, the smartest guys in the room, or the smartest men in the room, or something. God's away on business.
I'd sell your heart to the jump man, baby, for a buck. For a buck. If you're looking for someone to pull you out of that ditch, you're out of luck. You're out of luck. Ship is sinking. The ship is sinking. The ship is sinking. There's a leak in the boiler room. The poor, the lame, the blind. Who are the ones that we kept in charge? Killers, thieves, and warriors. God's away, God's away, God's away on business, business. God's away, God's away, God's away on business, business. Digging up the tank with the shovel and the pick, it's a job, bizarre. Money mood rising with the plague and the front doing the bar. Doing the mob. It's all over. It's all over. It's all over. And constantly in the boiler room. The poor, the lame, the blind. Who are the ones that we kept in charge? Killers, thieves, and lawyers. Gods of fame, gods of fame, gods of fame on business, business. Gods of fame, gods of fame on business, business. Was such a big temptation to be good, to be good. There's always the cheddar in the mousetrap, baby. It's a deal, it's a deal. God's so great, God's so great, God's so great in business, business. God's so great, God's so great, God's so great in business, business. I narrow my eyes like a coin slot, baby. Let her ring. Let her ring. God so big, God so big, God so big on business. God so big, God so big, God so big on business, business.
That was Tom Waits, too. I threw in threw some more Calliope at you. The piece was called Calliope. And, of course, before that was God's Away on Business. Closing credits soundtrack to the movie Enran. The smart... Let me say it again, though. Get it together, Enran. God's Away on Business... theme from the closing credits to the documentary movie came out just a few years ago entitled Enron, The Smartest Boys in the Room. Assuming I got the title correct. There you go. Okay. Out goes Tom Waits. Bobby Dylan. Don't be looking for his early works. This album is actually is really one of his later albums. I believe it was the first of roughly three that came out one right after the other. It says 2006, Sony Entertainment. Modern Times, Bob Dylan's Modern Times, as he slowly, perhaps stutteringly, changes his style again and again. Two cuts from Modern Times, Someday Baby and Working Man's Blues number 2. Glad to see that hash mark there before the 2. So we have still writing songs with the number so-and-so. Here's Someday Baby. Yeah.
I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. I don't care where you go or how long you stay. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna work for me anymore. Well, you take my money and you turn me out. You fill me up with nothing but self-doubt. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna worry for me anymore. When I was young, driving was my craving. You drive me so hard, almost to the grave. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna work for me anymore. Recycling the same old thoughts. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna worry for me anymore. So many good things in life that I've overlooked. I don't know what to do now. Baby, you got me so hooked. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna worry for me anymore. Thing to do. an evening haze settling over town, starlight by the edge of the creek. The buying power of the proletariat's gone down, money's getting shallow and weak. Well, the place I love best is a sweet memory, it's a new path that we trod. They say low wages are reality if we want to compete abroad. My cruel weapons have been put on the shelf, come sit down on my knee. You are dearer to me than myself, as you yourself can see. While I'm listening to the steel rails hum, got both eyes tight shut, just sitting here trying to keep the hunger from creeping its way into my gut. Meet me at the bottom, don't lag behind, bring me my boots and shoes. You can hang back or fight your best on the front line, sing a little bit of these working band. Sailing on back, ready for the long haul, tossed by the winds and the seas. I'll drag them all down to hell and I'll stand them at the wall. I'll sell them to their enemies. I'm a trying to feed my soul with thought, gonna sleep off the rest of the day. Sometimes no one wants what you've got, sometimes you can't give it away. The place is ringed with countless fools, some of them maybe never done. No man, no woman knows the hour that sorrow will come. In the dark I hear the nightbirds call, I can feel a lover's breath. I sleep in the kitchen with my feet in the hall, sleep is like a temporary death. At the bottom, don't lag behind, bring me my boots and shoes. You can hang back or fight your best on the front line, sing a little bit of these working band. Well, they burned my barn and they stole my horse, I can't say goodbye. I've got to be careful, I don't want to be forced into a life of continual crime. I can see for myself that the sun is sinking, how I wish you were here to see. Tell me now, am I wrong in thinking that you have forgotten me? Now they worry and they hurry and they fuss and they fret, they waste your nights and days. I won't forget, but you will remember always. Old memories of you to me have clung, you've wounded me with your words. Gonna have to straighten out your tongue, it's all true, everything you've heard. Meet me at the bottom, don't lag behind, bring me my boots and shoes. Go fight your best on the front line, sing a little bit of these working band blues. In you, my friend, I find no blame. Wanna look in my eyes, please do. No one can ever claim that I took up arms against you. All across the peaceful, sacred fields, they will lay you low. They'll break your horns and slash you with steel. I say it, so it must be so. Now I'm down on my luck in a black and blue, gonna give you another chance. I'm all alone, I'm expecting you to lead me off in a cheerful dance. I got a brand new suit and a brand new wife, I can live on rice and beans. Some people never work a day in their life, don't know what work even means. Well, up and I'm gonna lag behind. Bring me my boots and shoes. You can hang back or fight your best on the front line. Sing a little bit of these working band blues.
Robert Zimmerman himself, the old man. Was he 71 now, 72? Not that it matters. I'm going to have to say all that again because I had the damn volume turned down. Fairly recent Bob Dylan, Modern Times is the album, Working Man's Blues, number two, Don't Ask Me What Happens, number one, preceded by Someday Baby, Robert Zimmerman himself, the old man. I love him. We love him so. All right, my friends, this is the Cream to Drake show, Cream to Dregs, which according to the schedule I have in my hot little hand here says is on every Thursday from 8 to 11 p.m. following Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides with Robert Norse. From the Cream to the Dregs, normally with Uncle Dennis, every Thursday, 8 to 11 p.m., he will return to you in 2 weeks when EF Update will resume at 9 in the course of the show, which begins at 8 p.m. I will be here next week sitting in for the old man himself. I'm Ren to Wheel. Please don't forget Mideast Madness. Every Monday, 3 to 4:55 in the afternoon. And I'll talk at you Saturday for the weekend version of Mideast Madness, 11 a.m. Folks, Magic Box tells me no one is listening right now. Not even my own mother. So let me just verify that one last time. Yep, Magic Box says I'm talking to no one. So I'm going to turn this over back to Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving special. A la Uncle Dennis. And Free Radio Santa Cruz returns sometime after 7:30 tomorrow morning with live people talking at you. Ta-ta!
We walked in, sat down. Obie came in with a 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows.